Hi, this is Jane on Friday, April 10th, reading the Charlestown Patriot Bridge, published on April 10th. Local father and son team to run Boston Marathon. Charlestown natives, the father and son team of Nathan and Thomas Blanchett, will run the 2026 Boston Marathon in support of Mass General Hospital, a place that has played an important role in Thomas's life since his early childhood. At only 11 months, Thomas was diagnosed with congenital lymphedema and began receiving ongoing care at MGH. Inspired by his experience, Thomas, now a student at Boston Latin School, or BLS, founded BLS Care, a cancer awareness and relief effort, in 2024. The student-led club focuses on educating the public about all forms of cancer and supporting patients through fundraising, including initiatives like a Hoops for Cancer fundraiser at BLS Boys Basketball Senior Night, school-wide events, and the distribution of hundreds of cancer awareness bracelets. As he prepares to graduate, Thomas plans to pass leadership of the club to younger students, who will continue building on its work and outreach efforts. For Nathan and Thomas, running the marathon together represents both a way to give back to MGH, an institution that has supported their family for 18 years, and an opportunity for a meaningful father-son experience before Thomas graduates high school. Through their efforts, the duo hopes to support patient care and research at a hospital that has long been part of their lives and their Charlestown community. Charlestown sees 5% reduction in Part 1 crime from last year. As the first quarter of 2026 was drawing to a close, Charlestown had experienced a 5% drop in Part 1 crime, which is an incidence of violent and property crime, from last year, according to Boston Police. Between this January 1st and March 29th of this year, 41 incidents of Part 1 crime were reported in Area A15, compared with 43 during the same time frame in 2025. This year also marked a nearly 20% decrease from Charlestown's 5-year average for Part 1 crime of 51 incidents. No homicides were reported in Charlestown this year, down from 2 last year, while the 5-year average for Part 1 crime in Charlestown was down nearly 20%, with the number at 0.6 incidents. No rapes or attempted rapes were reported either this year or last year, while Charlestown's 5-year average for this crime category was 0.4 incidents. Robberies and attempted robberies in Charlestown were up 50%, as the number climbed to 6 from 4 last year, while the 5-year average for this category was 3.8 incidents. Incidents of domestic aggravated assault in Charlestown plummeted to 1 incident from 3 last year. The district's 5-year average for this category was 3.4 incidents. Incidents of non-domestic aggravated assault decreased 25%, with the number to 3 from 4 last year. The district's 5-year average for this category was 4.8 incidents. The rate of commercial burglaries in Charlestown remained steady, with 2 incidents reported both this year and last year. The district's 5-year average was 1.4 incidents. The number of residential burglaries dropped to 1 from 2 last year, while the district's 5-year average for this category was 4.8 incidents. Incidents of larceny from a motor vehicle were up more than 22%, as the number climbed to 11 from 9 last year. The district's 5-year average for this category was 10.4 incidents. The rate of other larcenies remained steady, with 15 incidents reported both this and last year, while the district's 5-year average for the category was 18 incidents. The number of auto thefts also remained the same, with 2 incidents reported both this and last year, while the district's five-year average for this category was 2.2 incidents. To boldly go where no man has gone before. For those of us who were among the 600 million people who watched Neil Armstrong descend the ladder from the Apollo 11 lunar module Eagle and set foot on the moon's Sea of Tranquility on the evening in the Eastern time zone of July 20th, 1969, and utter the immortal words, "That's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind." This past week's mission of the Artemis II astronauts, who have traveled further from Earth, 252,228 miles, than any other humans as they circled the moon, has been exhilarating. Armstrong was soon followed on the moon by his crewmate, Buzz Aldrin, and together they strolled across the lunar surface for more than 2 hours. They planted an American flag, spoke with President Richard M. Nixon, deployed scientific instruments, and collected lunar rocks before returning to the Apollo 11, where crewmate Michael Collins was awaiting their return in a lunar orbit. Just a few months before Apollo 11's flight, in December of 1968, the Apollo 8 crew of Frank Borman, Jim Lovell, and William Anders were the first humans to see and photograph the far side of the moon and an Earthrise. That trio, who famously read from the Book of Genesis on Christmas Eve, were named Time Magazine's Men of the Year upon their return. Armstrong's moonwalk fulfilled a pledge made by President John F. Kennedy in 1961 during the height of the Cold War with the Soviet Union, when he declared that the U.S. would put a man on the moon before the end of the decade. NASA sent 5 more missions to the moon through 1972, and by that time, lunar walks were taken for granted by the American public. Been there, done that, was the general view of most Americans. Nixon slashed NASA's budget shortly after the first lunar landing, which not only cut short future moon flights, 9 more had been scheduled, but also prevented NASA from expanding its space program. In addition to the triumphs of that era, we also vividly remember the subsequent tragedies of the space shuttles Challenger in January 1986 and Columbia in February 2003. Those were events where we recall exactly where we were when we heard the news that claimed the lives of 14 astronauts. Both serve as a reminder that despite our technological prowess, space travel is a dangerous venture. In addition to circling the moon, the present mission of the Artemis II essentially is serving as a flying laboratory. The crew is conducting health experiments to study how deep space radiation affects human tissue. They are also testing the spacecraft's life support systems in an environmental far more hostile than low Earth orbit. Astronauts presently are scheduled to set foot again on the moon in 2028 on the Artemis IV mission, to be followed by the Artemis V later that year, when the astronauts will try to establish a base station on the moon. Fans of the original Star Trek from the 1960s will recall the words in our headline that were uttered by Captain James T. Kirk in his iconic opening monologue at the start of each show. For those of us who were around for the first moon landing, we are thrilled that once again we are fulfilling Captain Kirk's call for mankind to reach for the stars. Urban Design Review Office Hours. If you own a home or business and want to make improvements to your property, you are invited to attend Design Review Office Hours with the Planning Department's Urban Design staff. Bring your questions and or plans to an in-person event or join a virtual session. Questions staff can address include, will design review be required for my project? What is design review? And how will it fit into my project timeline? What materials will be needed for that review? Will I need to make changes to my project? Building and design professionals are welcome too. These sessions will be held every month virtually and in different neighborhoods. Upcoming sessions are April 30th from 5:30 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. at the Charlestown branch of the Boston Public Library at 179 Main Street, Charlestown. April 29th is 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., and that's a virtual meeting. Senator DiDomenico hosting office hours in Charlestown. State Senator Sal DiDomenico will be hosting office hours on Thursday, April 16th at the Charlestown branch of the Boston Public Library from 5:30 to 7:30 p.m. The senator is inviting all constituents to come speak with him and his team about any questions they have regarding government services, topics they would like to discuss, or just stop by and say hello. I am here to serve all my constituents across Charlestown, and I encourage anyone interested to come by and chat, said Senator Sal DiDomenico. Making myself and my staff accessible to the public is one of my top priorities, and I am excited to spend time with my friends and neighbors answering their questions and doing our best to address any issues or concerns they have. If you have any questions, please email my communications director, Eli Fenichel, at eli.fenichel@masenate.gov, or call my office at 617-722-1650. The Charlestown branch of the Boston Public Library is located at 179 Main Street in Charlestown. Hearing addresses needs and priorities for HUD funding. City officials held a public hearing last month to discuss the needs and priorities for an estimated $27 million in funds from the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development. The funds may be invested in housing, homeless assistance, and community development programs that serve low to moderate income residents over a one-year period from July 1 through June 30, 2027, the city said. The city's HUD action plan covers four federal programs: community development block grant, home investment partnerships, emergency solutions grant program, and housing opportunities for persons with AIDS. The March 4 hearing was run by Rick Wilson, the city's director of administration and finance, and Tina Griffith, Boston's assistant director for grants management. The hearing occurred as the action plan enters the third of 5 years to develop housing and communities deeper into Boston. Two more public hearings are slated for this month. One on April 29 will be in person, and another on April 30th will be virtual, according to the city's website. When we do our five-year plan, we do a really deep dive into assessing the needs and priorities based on community input, public hearings, data collection, meeting with different departments and different community leaders, Griffith said during the March hearing. It's very data-driven as well. Boston receives annual grant funding from the four HUD programs. This year, the city received $76 million from HUD, but only $27 million is expected to go into the programs, with much of the rest going to continuum of care. People who spoke at the meeting brought up a range of topics, including affordable housing, supportive services for the unhoused, and better economic development in the neighborhoods. Kelly McGrath, executive director of Brighton Main Streets, said the HUD funding is critical and enables Main Streets organizations to support small businesses, strengthen the local economy, and create vibrant commercial districts, McGrath said. Barbara Johnson, director of development at the New England Culinary Arts Training Program, said the funds have helped to double the number of people the program served each year to roughly 260. It wouldn't be possible without this funding, and we're extremely grateful, Johnson said. Speakers also used the hearing to criticize Governor Maura Healey's administration and legislators for not doing enough for the unhoused. Leslie Creedle, founder of Justice for Housing, criticized the governor's new shelter bill, which Creedle said caused barriers for families. What we have found are pregnant women, even men, who have their children being denied access to family shelters, Creedle said. And so they end up on our doorstep because we are the only agency that caters to incarcerated individuals returning to the community. Kiana Green, CEO of Vision Life Consulting Services, which provides locals with skill training and assists with job placement, said the housing crisis she witnessed 15 years ago was still in play. Too often there are individuals that really do have the motivation to do better, be better, have better, but just don't have the opportunity and or the resources to do so, Green said. Leo Moss of Bay Cove Human Services appealed for more funding for senior citizens. I know the funding structure hasn't changed quite a bit in the past few years, Moss said. It's always the same. I've always come up here and asked for more money, but I never get it. Boston is expected to announce its plans for the HUD funding in early April. WU announces launch of Boston's Summer Youth Jobs Program. Mayor Michelle WU and the Office of Youth Employment and Opportunity, or YEO, announced that paid youth job applications are open for summer 2026. Boston youth and young adults ages 14 to 24 can now apply at Future BOS, a centralized hub for all youth employment opportunities in Boston, including opportunities from SuccessLink, the city's youth jobs program. This announcement builds on Mayor Wu's work to make Boston a home for everyone. Every young person in our city deserves the opportunity to grow, learn, and get started on a strong path to their future, said Mayor Michelle WU. Each summer, this program opens doors by giving Boston's youth hands-on work experience, new skills, and the chance to explore what they're interested in. We're working to ensure these opportunities reach young people across the city, and I encourage everyone to apply early and take advantage of the resources available. Expanding opportunities for young people during the summer is essential to ensuring they have meaningful experiences outside the classroom and during their free time. Investing in youth through jobs, programming, and career pathways is one of the most effective ways to support individual success while strengthening community safety, said City Councilor Gabriella Coletta Zapata from District 1. Boston's Summer Youth Jobs Program provides our young people with the opportunity to explore their interests, gain valuable skills, and build a foundation for their future. Managed by the Office of Youth Employment and Opportunity, Future BOS recruits and hires Boston youth an engaging and meaningful employment experience that advances their professional and personal development. Research from Northeastern University also demonstrates that the city's youth employment program positively impacts a range of economic, academic, and criminal justice outcomes for youth. Mayor WU continues to prioritize investing in these opportunities. Last summer, over 10,500 youth were hired through the YEO or through the support of external partners. Our goal is to maintain that commitment next summer. We know young people want and need summer jobs more than ever and are thankful for the continued commitment of our mayor, partners, and communities to this work, said Allison Veneri, Executive Director of the Office of Youth Employment and Opportunity. Our team is focused on ensuring job opportunities are accessible to all young people of Boston, that the onboarding process is streamlined year after year, and that high-quality career readiness is provided in all programs. The Mayor's Youth Jobs Guarantee remains a central pillar of Future BOS employment efforts, ensuring every eligible Boston Public Schools, or BPS, student who wants a job can access one. YEO collaborates with school leaders and community partners to meet students where they are, reduce barriers, and expand direct streamlined pathways for students to access job opportunities. As a result, BPS students accounted for 58% of summer 2025 youth job participants. This summer, YEO will continue to deepen its partnership with BPS to host dedicated hiring events during school time to support students in gaining early work experience that builds confidence, skills, and sets them up for long-term future success. Event dates and information will be available on this webpage at a later date. We are committed to ensuring that every Boston Public School student has access to experiences that support their growth, be it both inside and outside the classroom, said Boston Public School Superintendent Mary Skipper. Summer jobs for our youth create meaningful pathways for students to explore their interests, gain real-world experience, develop critical skills, and build pathways toward college and careers. Through our continued partnership with the City of Boston and the Office of Youth Employment and Opportunity, we are working to expand access, remove barriers, and connect students to these opportunities while they are still in high school, setting them up for success beyond graduation. Each year, YEO partners with more than 200 Boston-based organizations to offer high-quality youth employment opportunities. This summer, the office will support 145 programs and 83 city agencies. Of particular note, YEO will support organizations that prioritize proven at-risk youth populations through a partnership with the state's Commonwealth Corporation Youth Works, ensuring that disadvantaged youth have equitable access to jobs. Zoomix is honored to work alongside our coalition partners, Word Powered, and the City of Boston's Success Link program to provide purposeful first employment experiences for Boston youth, said Brittany Thomas, Senior Director of Operations at Zoomix. For 35 years, Zoomix youth have been making art, building connections, and imagining successful futures for themselves. Our youth staff this summer will continue this legacy, growing their talents as musicians, media makers, program facilitators, and co-producers of our outdoor concert series. Thank you to Mayor Wu and the Office for Youth Employment and Opportunity for accompanying Boston youth as they realize the creative potential within themselves and our city. YEO goes beyond employment by partnering with Bank on Boston to provide youth with financial education and banking opportunities. Of note, four local banks, Santander Bank, Citizens Bank, M&T Bank, and Metro Credit Union, will continue providing non-custodial, no-fee options to future BOS participants, making it easy for them to open safe, non-predatory bank accounts, facilitating access to their summer earnings, and instilling good financial habits. Youth are strongly encouraged to attend the Youth Job and Resource Fair at the Reggie Lewis Center on Saturday, April 18, 2026, to connect with over 100 summer employers, access career development resources, receive job application assistance, open bank accounts, and win prizes. Food will be provided for all young people. Parents and guardians are welcome to attend. This year, YEO is introducing a new timed entry wave model to meet growing demand and ensure a safe event for all. Registration is available on a first-come, first-served basis, and both time slots will offer access to the same resources for young people. Youth are able to register at this link and must select one time slot to attend the fair. Future is Bright Fair. Wave A is Saturday, April 18th from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. Making Money Move Fair is Wave B, Saturday, April 18th from 2 p.m. to 5 p.m. The Summer Youth Employment Program starts on June 23rd and ends on August 29th, 2026. Job applications will be accepted on a rolling basis, but youth are encouraged to apply early. There is a step-by-step guide available online to help youth navigate the application process. Youth can also visit the office in person, Monday to Friday, with dedicated onboarding hours from 12 p.m. to 5 p.m. at 1483 Tremont Street in Roxbury, or call 617-635-4202 for additional assistance. For more information, visit boston.gov/futureBOS. Boston will mark One Boston Day with acts of kindness. Mayor Michelle Wu and the City of Boston released the annual Call to Action for community-based organizations, businesses, and City of Boston residents to come together for volunteer events and acts of kindness in recognition of our city's spirit of care for one another in response to the tragic events of April 15, 2013. One Boston Day, observed on April 15th, honors the victims, survivors, and first responders of the 2013 Boston Marathon. Mayor Wu was encouraging acts of kindness on Wednesday, April 15th, and for people to take part in volunteer opportunities throughout the week. 13 years ago, when the horrific tragedy at the Boston Marathon shook our city to its core, we came together in love, mourning families, supporting survivors, and healing together, said Mayor Michelle Wu. Each year, on One Boston Day, we honor that spirit by coming together to perform acts of kindness for one another and make a difference in our neighborhoods. I hope everyone will join their neighbors today in honoring those we lost and celebrating the love that makes Boston a home for everyone. I'm sorry, that's all we have time for today.